Good morning. So my PowerPoint says, just say yes. Underneath it says, we are saying yes. But it didn't come out the way I did it. So I was looking for a photo, and I was going through all my photos on my computer. And most of them, the words didn't show up in the photo, you know, because the photos were too dark, you know, trees and stuff like that, palm trees. So I found one that was really cool. It was water on the bottom, and it had sunlight shining on it. And then the words, just say yes, we are saying yes. And then beyond that, beyond the water with the sun shining on it, beyond that is these dark mountains. And then beyond the mountain is a bright shining light. And I thought it was so cool when I found that, because what does it represent? It represents where we're walking, where we're saying yes, we have that light at our feet. But what's in the distance? We don't know. Now, is that scary? It can be scary. We don't know what the Lord has for us. You know, when we say yes, what does that mean? What does it mean? What's the Lord going to require of us? Anyway, so I thought it was a really cool picture. I'm sorry it didn't show up. So just say yes, we are saying yes. This is an important message. It is a timely message. It is an invitation. It is a declaration. It's for Grace Fellowship right now. So anyway, Roland Baker is the husband of Heidi Baker. I think you all know who they are. Heidi and Iris Ministries. Her testimony is phenomenal. Roland is also a friend of my sister's pastor. And I was talking to Roland after one of the meetings, and he said the secret to Heidi's successful ministry was that she never says no to God. Anyway, so my message today is one we've all heard countless times. It's not what we choose to do is wrong or bad, it's just not the best. Why is it not the best? Years ago, that'd be back in the 90s, the Lord said he was going to bring Grace Fellowship into the fulfillment of John 17. So John 17, 21 says, that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Again, in that time frame, he said that those attending Grace Fellowship would be there because he had brought them, not simply a choice of their own. So if you're here today, it's because you have followed the Lord. Now, more recently, last February, in our pre-worship time, some of you will relate to this, the Lord said he was going to make us into our better selves, make us more alive. Then in March, during our pre-worship, the message was, are we willing and wanting that more intimate relationship with him? And the answer was unanimous. Do you remember that? Just say yes. The answer was unanimous. We were all on the same spiritual page saying yes. It was the Lord calling us to a deeper relationship. And he's the one doing it. He's the one doing the work. We can rest in that. It's the times I've said yes to the Lord's leading that have been the most fruitful. And, you know, way back when you start, Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We've proved the truth of this scripture by the grace of God and his leading us. We're all mature Christians here, so we've proved that. We've come to know the love of God and his provision for us. He has taught us to rest in his love and provision. He has made us confident of our identity in him. That is so good. What could be better? What could be the best? In Matthew 10:8, Jesus sent his disciples out saying, And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely give. We've experienced healing and seen demons cast out. Primarily in other countries, our Brazil trip was a phenomenal trip. And in Guatemala, we saw some healing also. Guatemala wasn't a healing trip, but we did see healing. But Brazil was a healing trip. I think the people in Brazil had an expectation of being healed when we prayed for them. They believed more than I or we believed. But by the end of 2 weeks, check this out. By the end of 2 weeks, I was searching for a man I had seen earlier who had lost an arm. Sadly, someone said he'd already left the meeting. Would the Lord have healed him? Would the Lord have chosen to heal him? We had seen so much happen that I had the faith to chase after a guy that had lost an arm. I mean, it was amazing. Anyway, my expectation, my faith was through the roof because of what I'd seen him do. One of the things, the last thing I saw him do, I think I've shared this before, is when I prayed for this 12-year-old, I think it was about 12-year-old kid. I think you've heard the story, but prayed for this 12-year-old kid. His mother had brought him. This is one of our last meetings. And he had super thick glasses. He had extreme myopia. He couldn't see a thing without his glasses. And so he didn't want to be there. And this is key for me, that he did not want to be there. His countenance was, where were we? Oh, so this 12-year-old kid, so he didn't want to be there. You could tell. His countenance was, get me out of here. But his mom had brought him. He was just, you know, sullen, looking down, didn't want to be there. And so through an interpreter, we found out he had extreme myopia, couldn't see anything without his glasses. That's where his mom had brought him there. And so so when we finally figured it out, I said, okay, let's pray for him. So I asked him if I could put my hand on his shoulder. Sure. Put my hand on his shoulder. I said, Lord, in Jesus' name, let this young man see. And we pray this in Jesus' name, be healed. And so he looks up at the screen, looks, shakes his head. Let's get out of here. I said, no, let's pray one more time. Let's pray again. So, Father in heaven, we just pray right now, heal this young man in Jesus' name, be healed. And he looks up at the screen, and he stays looking. All of a sudden, his whole countenance changed. His whole countenance changed. So now he's got this beautiful smile, and he can see, you know? So the cool thing for me was that I knew he wasn't faking this thing. I knew it was real because of his whole countenance changing like that. So anyway, then that was a good story. Yeah, so my faith was through the roof when I was looking for this guy with no arm. So what about miracles? What about miracles that aren't about healing? Oh yeah, what about miracles that aren't about healing? Matthew 10:18, you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. So I believe to walk with the Lord in healing and have the words of life for those around me, whether friends and family or those in authority, I need to be more focused on the Lord. I am focused. I trust him. I rest in him. I know he is always there for me, but I have been living like I'm on vacation. I've been slow to respond at all when prompted by Holy Spirit. It's like he abides with me, but I don't abide with him. Two quick examples come to mind of him abiding with me and me not necessarily abiding with him. So one of them is years ago, my family, Christine and I and our three kids, my brother, his wife and three kids, my sister and her friend, my other sister and her husband, and a whole flock of us, about 14 or 15, went on a backpack trip. And this is up in Yosemite, on the road to Tioga Road, over to Tuolumne Meadows. Anyway, there's a right at the crest of that hill, mountain, there's a trailhead that goes up, and it goes up to a place called Ten Lakes. So it's a 10-mile hike to get from the trailhead up over the saddle and down into the first lake. And so we're going, having a lot of fun. About 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it starts to snow. And so we're in the Sierras, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, rain showers, snow showers. They don't last long, 15 minutes, half hour. Well, we continued on, and the snow continued on. We got over the top. We're down the other side. We're setting up tents in the at by the lake. And we're telling the kids, make sure you find a dry spot, maybe under a tree, and keep things dry. Make sure there's you're not going to get wet. So everybody's going about getting everything done. Next thing we know, my niece, the warmest thing she has is a big cable knit sweater, and it's soaking wet. My son comes and says, our sleeping bags are wet. The water invaded our tent. And so I went and told Christine what's going on. I said, this is getting serious. I mean, we're here to have fun. We're not here on a survival trip. And she said, well, maybe we should leave. And I said, hang on. So I said, okay, I'm just going to take 50 steps outside of camp by myself, and I'm just going to ask the Lord. So I asked the Lord, what should we do? Immediately, he said, leave now. So I went back to camp, got the kids, told the other adults that the kids and I, Christine and I and the kids are leaving. And they're saying, no, we can make it all work. I said, well, the Lord said, we're leaving. So we left. Well, the thing about leaving now was that saddle had a trail across the top. It's just, it's not wooded. It's, just prairie grass or something. It's a saddle. And that trail was covered in the snow, but it was still enough of an indent that we could see where we were going. And then beyond that, further down the hill, is a large granite expanse. And the only way to cross it is by following the cairns, little piles of rock. You go from one, you see the other one way over there, you go to that one, you see the other one way over there. If it had been dark, we wouldn't be able to see over there. And by the time we got through that, hit the forest trail, it was dark, and with flashlights, you don't have to worry about it. You cannot miss that trail, and we got out of there. The next day, we went down to, first we had to crash. My parents were up there with a fifth wheel. We crashed the kids with them, and Christine and I slept in my brother-in-law's camper. The next day, we went down to the valley floor and just spent the day. So then the day after that, we had to go back and get our stuff. Just the kids and I went, Christine didn't. And we get back to the campground. It looked like a fire sale or a yard sale. There was stuff all over all the rocks drying out. And so they said if we hadn't left, they would have had a hard time staying dry and comfortable. Anyway, so that was, there was the other story. So this is us, the Lord being faithful to abide with us. So this other story, if I can do it quickly, is a treasure hunt story. And so Lenora and I were teamed up, and I got the place, and it was a Juilliard Park and a water feature. And what Lenora got was rocks or something in the stomach. Was it rocks or balls or something in the stomach? And it's a black woman we're supposed to find there and pray for her. So we find the water feature. We see the woman over there. She's in a group of about 10 people. And then the question is, should we go interrupt her in the group of 10 people, or should we wait till she's by herself? So we asked Holy Spirit, and right there he said, go talk to her now. So we went and talked to her. So we went ahead and talked to her right then. And so it turns out she had numerous fibroids that she'd had for years, but she didn't have the means to have them dealt with. She had just gotten some kind of special insurance or something, so she was, the next day she was going down to San Francisco to have them removed. So here the Lord had given us the information, who to talk to, what was wrong with her, and we were able to bless her in that respect and pray for her. So the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful to abide with us. He's always there for me. I'm just not always there for him. God is always with us. He resides inside by his Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is always with us. Do we talk to him? When we're with our friends, we're usually talking. And if we're not talking, we're still aware of their presence. Do we talk with Holy Spirit? Do we listen? Are we aware of his presence? Do we get goosebumps when we become aware? Our pre-worship time here has become very special. It's a time of focus and abiding in God's presence. At the end, there is time to share what the Lord is saying in the moment. Can we abide in the Lord 24/7? John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Holy Spirit abides with us forever. John 15:4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Abide is from the Greek word meno, and it's translated abide, remain, dwell, continue, tarry, endure. Also to remain, to sojourn, tarry, not to depart, to continue to be present, to be held, kept continually. To continue to be, not to perish, to last, endure, to survive, live, to remain as one, not to become another or different, to wait for, await one. Oswald Chambers on abiding says, begin to abide now. In early stages, abiding requires continual effort. But eventually, it becomes an unconscious habit. Decide to abide in Jesus now, wherever you are placed. In the mid-70s, I was helping a friend move back to New York State. He had been here in Santa Rosa attending Genesis Bible School. The thing that impressed me then, and that I often think about now, is his response to something unexpected. It was always a good-natured, oh, Father. I mean, it was like he was, the Lord was always on his mind. If somebody dropped something while helping him move, it was just, oh, Father. It wasn't any negative reaction. And his response was way outside my experience with anyone I had met. It would seem that he was abiding in Christ at a young age. He was in his early 20s at the time, and I was in my late 20s and a new Christian. And we have our own relationship with the Lord and our own journey, so I didn't need to compare myself to him. The Lord is the one taking us from glory to glory. But that young man at early 20s came from New York to our Bible study, not Bible study, Bible school, Genesis, in Santa Rosa. So there must have been something going on in his life. I mean, who would go all the way across country at that age to go to a Genesis Bible training school? The only reason I went is because it was right there at my church, and the Lord said, do it. So anyway, the Passion Translation, 2 Corinthians 3:18. We can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We have all experienced his working in our lives. Who we are in him comes from him. Therefore, we can't compare ourselves to others, but we can glory in who he is in us and who we are in him. Hallelujah. Oh, interesting. It's right here. I hadn't opened this message yet to continue when I was feeling anxious about the process. And I have to chain myself to the desk to compose these things. So I was feeling anxious. If I'm feeling anxious, it's because I'm not focused on the Lord. Yes? I'm focused on circumstances and not abiding. When I focused on Holy Spirit and then Jesus and Father God, my anxiety disappeared. It was powerful. So, Holy Spirit would have us try this. Remember, Holy Spirit resides inside us. So, everybody, close your eyes and silently repeat after me. Hello, Holy Spirit. What's happening? Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for who you are in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the journey that you've placed us on. We thank you, Lord, for Holy Spirit residing inside us. We thank you, Lord, that Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. He's there by our side always. He's always accessible. He can erase all our fears and anxieties just by focusing on him. We thank you, Lord, for the path you've put us on. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to see how glorious that path is, how much we can rest in you, how much you love us, how much your love is beyond anything we can imagine. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for residing inside of me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, my friend. Thank you, my Holy Spirit friend. Thank you. Amen. First John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. God is always with us. His love is always with us, whether we are actively aware or not. He is inviting us to be actively aware. He is declaring he is doing a work in us to make us into our better selves, to make us more alive in him. Just say yes. Saying yes is signing up with the Lord to have him do the good work in us. And we are saying yes. Hallelujah. It seems abiding is the focus of what the Lord is saying. Can we do this? Can I do this? With the Lord's help and leading, I can do this. Since he is the one saying he is going to make us more alive, I believe he will do it. As I think about our church, I see that he is already doing it. He is already making us more alive. People are saying yes to things that maybe they wouldn't have last year. Can we abide 24/7? For years, I've tried to be what you might call more abiding when going into stores. I would consciously think about sharing who I am in the Lord by being aware of others, smiling, and saying hi, not just simply focusing on the task at hand and ignoring all others. Often people are caught off guard when they see someone smiling at them. And quite often, their response is a quick smile back. Saying yes to the Lord will sometimes mean saying no to other things. Saying yes might be asking us to step out of our comfort zone. Passion Bible translation, Philippians 2:12. My beloved ones, just like you've always listened to everything I've taught you in the past, I'm asking you now to keep following my instructions as though I were right there with you. Now you must continue to make this new life fully manifested as you live in the body, as you live in the holy awe of God, which brings you trembling into his presence. God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. We are saying yes to Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, Jesus who willingly suffered the cross for our sake, Holy Spirit who manifests the Trinity and leads us into all truth. Help us, Lord, we pray, to abide in you. You know, some days you just feel tired. We can abide in rest. We can be aware of Holy Spirit when we're resting. Remember, his yoke is easy. His yoke is light. Our confidence is in him. Sometimes what seems obvious in insight is questionable in the light of daily life. Sometimes what seems obvious in insight is questionable in the light of daily life. Did the Lord really mean that? Say yes. So thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for leading us and guiding us. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us. Thank you, Lord, for causing us to love you. We just praise you, give you all the glory, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And bless us now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.